Before we come to the reading of the scripture, let me say that I brought you a gift this morning. About 9 months ago, my son, who's a headmaster in Essex, phoned up and said to me, Dad, can you help me? He said that one of my deputies, Gloria, has just been told that she's got a terminal illness, and she's not a Christian, and she's petrified. How can I help her? Well, I laid it on him very strongly that it was his responsibility, as it is all of ours, to make known to our own unique circle of acquaintances the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. But I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll write you a little booklet. And it's this booklet that God has blessed over the last 9 months called Heaven and How Do You Expect to Get There? It's quite free. And if you want a copy, because you are not sure that you're going to heaven, or you know someone that's perhaps facing terminal illness, you'd like to give them a copy. It's written sensitively, and it begins from a very practical point of view in telling stories of people that I've led to the Lord in the last couple of years who were told that they were terminally ill. Now I help them. I want to say that Gloria is now in glory. She died about a month ago, having trusted the Lord and dying with peace, and actually being homesick for heaven by the time that she actually went. But I've been taking it around the churches over the last 9 months, and I've seen no less than 50 people profess faith as a result of this little booklet. Hallelujah. So if you're anxious, if you don't have that blessed assurance that one day you're going to heaven, and you want to be helped to be sure, then take a copy of this. Or if you know someone else that's struggling with this issue, then please take it and give it to them. It's there for the taking, okay? And may God bless it. I want us to open the scriptures and honor the word of God by looking at Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, the second letter, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and the first five verses, and then the last few verses. 2 Thessalonians 3. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not everyone has faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. In verse 16, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you all. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand, which is the distinguishing mark in my letters. This is how I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. When I was praying about what the Lord wanted me to speak about this morning, I really sensed, had a witness in my spirit, that someone would be here this morning that was anxious about something in particular. It may be that you are anxious about dying, but I sense not. I have a witness in my spirit that someone here this morning is really worried over a specific issue, and although you've been praying, you haven't been able to find peace. And I want to address that issue this morning. Let me say shalom. You know what that word means in this church. What does it mean? It means much more than peace, though, doesn't it? It means health. Worried about your health. The Lord of peace is here. He's able to give healing to sick bodies. You believe it. Maybe you're anxious about unconfessed and unforgiven sin. For that causes anxiety. The Lord is here to forgive. We're going to share around the table bread and wine, the reminders that he finished the work. You know, because Calvary is a finality, God's power and peace in your lives can be a reality. Shalom. whatever you're anxious about, maybe you're anxious about your child. And no matter what age our children may be, they still cause us anxiety, don't they? Well, the Lord is here. His Spirit is with you. And I believe he wants to address. And here's our verse. Read it with me. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times. You can say the verse. You've got 2 Thessalonians. I don't want you to be disappointed and leave something off. At least you'll know where to find it. He's the Lord of peace. And he's here this morning to give us peace. Historians will probably call our generation a generation of anxiety. They're finding new neuroses, you know, all the time. Though we perhaps have it easier in many ways than previous generations. And I'm old enough to know it was tough during the war. Yes, I'm old enough. And after the war, remember rations. Remember having to get up in the morning to light coal fires. I'm one of 7 children, and it was my designated job to get up early before anyone else and to light the coal fire. I remember it still. It wasn't easy. In many ways, in these practical ways, we have it easier than ever before. And yet, although we have it easier in many ways, people are more anxious than ever before. Our chief concerns, you see, are so often physical and temporary. Vast numbers of people believe that if we have food and we have shelter and we have clothing and we've got good education, and of course, don't forget the recreational facilities today, that we can create some sort of utopia. It's a lie. Because we've got all of these things. And still people are anxious, sick to death. Many of our statements, much of our literature, and most commercial advertising support this utterly wrong view. Some television adverts would have us believe that the greatest crisis that we can face is to have pimples on our face or to have yellowing teeth. But you and I know that this undue emphasis upon the importance of the body has created a system of thought that is more concerned with the accommodations of life than its destination. And I want you to look as we change the slide to read, God's purpose is to give you peace. May the Lord of peace himself give you peace. It couldn't be clearer. He's called the Lord of peace. Isaiah, of course, in that classic passage that I'm sure you read here at the carol service, referred to him as the Prince of Peace. But in the New Testament, writing to the Hebrews, he's called the King of Salem. What does Salem mean? Shalom. He's the King of Peace. He's the King of well-being. Because he died and rose again, ascended into glory. He's got the name that is above every name. His purpose is, because of what he's done for us, is to give us peace. He holds peace in his hands, and he wants to make a gift of peace to everyone here today. Get this, it's God's purpose to give you peace. But so many today have fled to their ivory towers, and they're surrounded by luxuries, and of course we've got to have computerized gadgets, hide from the reality. And they try to hide from their conscience and from God, but they're hounded by the feeling that they're not the people that they ought to be, that they're not living the life that they ought to live. Listen to Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. Life is more important than food, and the body more important than clothes. People today are trying to fill a vacuum in our lives by things, or by even filling them with other people, by relationships that are not designed to meet that inner need. The Lord Jesus will never fail us if we put our trust in him. He and he alone can give us the peace that we crave. Now, of course, Jesus had a lot to say about this in the Sermon on the Mount. So don't listen to my words for a moment. Listen to his. from the Sermon on the Mount directly in Matthew 6. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. I see you're looking for it, so it's Matthew 6, verse 25. Don't worry about what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all of his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Didn't Jesus put that well? Doesn't he cover the things that we are anxious about and give us the solution? We create our troubles and then try to cure them without God. But humankind's self-sufficiency is playing out. We're waking up to the fact that our spiritual infirmity can be cured only by the great physician. So Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all of you who are tired of carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Look at this picture. It's the Valley of Tears by Gustave Doré. I wish you could see it more clearly, but that's the way it's been painted. But here in the foreground, there's all manner of people. There are monarchs there with crowns on their head. There are statesmen, weighed down by all the weight of responsibility, carrying their red bags. There are young people. There are old people. There are physically infirm people. If you look at it carefully, you can see a mother nursing a baby on a breast. And she's looking at the baby, but her face is drawn and haggard. You can see in the eyes she's asking the question, what have I brought this child into this world for? So you've got all these troubles. And at the back, can you see the rainbow? And underneath the rainbow, there's the picture of our Saviour carrying his cross. And underneath, Gustave Doré has written Matthew 11, 28. Come to me. All of you who are weighed down by your burdens, and I will give you rest. Jesus is the only one that can meet that desperate need in all of us for peace. God's purpose is to give you peace. What did I just say? Well, let me tell you something else. It's not only God's purpose, it's God's promise to give you peace at all times. Look at the bit I've underlined. The Lord of peace himself will give you peace at all times and in every way. In that upper room, after the Judas had left the room and knowing he was going to face the end, he gathered the disciples together and he said, under the shadow of the cross, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I to you. So do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. And then he said, because I'm going away, I'm going to send you another comforter, that he may abide with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And when Jesus used that word, another, I will send you another comforter. That word, another, means literally one of the same kind. You see, the Holy Spirit is given to us, hallelujah, to make Jesus real to us. He's another person of the Trinity that makes Jesus real to us. And so the way to peace is receiving the gift of peace that the Lord of peace himself offers to us in this promise to give you peace. Anxiety exists, you know, when our basic needs have not been met. You see, you cannot soothe a baby's crying when it's hungry by just giving it a cuddle or by giving it a dummy. If a baby is hungry, it must have food. A starving man or woman is not just babies. We need food. And if they're hungry, it's no good just giving them shelter. They must have food. But you know, our greatest need is salvation, is to be right with God. And to be right with God, we have to have a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said, do not worry, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Let Jesus be king of your life. Bring everything under his authority. That's when you begin to know his real and abiding peace. A woman or a man away from God can be expected to be plagued by phobias, fears, and complexes. Why do we have shocking episodes showing the brutality of humankind? Because women and men have not had their basic needs met. Of course, most people are able to restrain themselves from gross crimes, but underneath the cloak of respectability seethes and surges a sinful nature that is capable of the worst evil imaginable. You know, when I hear on the news of these terrible crimes being committed, murders and rapes and paedophilia, do you know what I say to myself? Not damn that person, but by the grace of God. Because, you know, although we have been made in the image of God, we are basically depraved. Not everyone is as depraved as everyone else. Not all sin alike, but all alike have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that's why Jesus spoke about peace and then went to the cross. He died and he rose again. Do you know when he came and met them in that upper room after his resurrection, do you know the first thing he said to them was, Shalom, peace be with you. And he showed them his hands and his side, the signs of the cross. And we read, then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. No wonder, because they knew that he died for them. And then he breathed on them, having said Shalom a second time, and said, peace be with you. As my Father has sent me, I'm sending you. Go in my name. And we go as messengers of God's peace. So we've seen this morning very simply, because I'm addressing, I believe, a problem that someone here has in particular, this problem of anxiety. God's purpose is to give you peace. God's promise is to give you peace. And finally, God's provision. Notice that. It's a provision of peace. Now, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. You see, I can hear someone saying, but John, you're not in my circumstances. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know who I have to live with. You don't know the job that I've got or the deprivation that I'm facing every day. Nobody does. And that's why this is so inclusive. May he give you peace at all times and in every way and in every place. You see, the trouble is God has purposed and promised peace. He's actually provided it, but we have to come to him and we have to receive it. And as we come to the table shortly, grace, it's a means of grace, and God's grace is flowing like a river towards us. But we have to come to him. We have to be lost in Him. We have to receive Him. Listen to that person that's come here really anxious this morning. This is what the scripture says. Cast all of your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. He really does know about your circumstances. That's why He's laid this word on my heart this morning. Because He knows about you. He cares about you. He wants to lift the burden. He wants you to leave here today with peace, perfect peace. You know, that picture, the veil of tears, underlined by "come to me and I'll give you peace." It's not the complete sentence, you know. Jesus went on to say this: "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." You see, that picture of a yoke, of two oxen being yoked together, you mightn't find a compliment being like to an animal, but Jesus is the other one. He wants to be yoked with us. You're facing a burden, you're pulling a heavy load, but you're not pulling it alone. I want you to get this morning the sense that the Lord is with you. He's in this. He's your partner. You want a partner? He's your partner. The very word, you know, fellowship, koinonia, means partnership. It means sharing. And the Lord is here. He's with you to share the load that you are feeling crushed by. Saint Augustine said that there's only one place that we can find this peace, and that is when we've made our peace with Him. You cannot know the peace of God until you've made your peace with God. So this morning I'm calling you to make your peace with God. If you have sinned, then confess it and receive the forgiveness that God offers you in Jesus' name. If someone has sinned against you, forgive them. For God's sake and your sake, forgive them. And find the grace to forgive them, to release them, to let it go. Only then can you find your peace with God. You know, my mum, she's been in the glory now for almost 11 years. And my five sisters cared for her wonderfully. They kept her at home to the end of her 97 years. But, you know, towards the end, they needed to have some rest. And so I arranged for her to go into Hebron Hall, you know, Bethel House, to have just 2 weeks of respite care. And a neighbor, a dear friend, was concerned about my mother and said, "Eileen, I don't like the thought of you going, so I bought you a present." And she said, "I bought you this," and it was a glass angel. You've seen them. A glass angel. And she said, "Take this, Eileen, because you'll know that an angel is with you." My mother received the gift graciously, but with a smile she broke into song. I wouldn't attempt to do it. "He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. You know it? He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives? He lives within my heart." She said, "Mary, thank you so much for this gift. It's very kind of you. But I've got the Savior that never leaves me and will never forsake me. The Lord is with you. He's your partner in this. He'll never let you go. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's why I can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me?" So before we come to the table, let me give you three simple steps. First of all, stop seeking the trivial, the transient things which modern men and women glut themselves with, and seek first the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ. I'm glad your verse is "turn your eyes," or even "fix your eyes upon Jesus," because that's what we need to do. Get our eyes off other things and other people as the hope, the solution for our problems, and fix our eyes on Him. Seek Him and His will for your life. Secondly, get your eyes off yourself, you see. Focus them upon God first and then others. Self-centeredness is a terrible breeder of anxiety. Spend more time in prayer and let a large proportion of your time be spent praying for others. Think about other people. So fix your eyes on Him. Get your eyes off yourself. And thirdly, commit yourself wholeheartedly to Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. Don't be a half-hearted Christian. You know, among the greatest words that Jesus spoke from the cross was this: Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. We can do no better than commending our spirits to Him. Come to Him this morning. Lay your anxieties at His feet. And if anyone should be worrying about dying, let me say this to every grey-haired person here. The best is yet to come. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. No wonder He was betwixt the two, whether or not to go and be with Christ, which He said was far better, or to remain, which is better for you. The best is yet to come. We're walking through a valley of tears, but the Lord calls us on. He calls us to follow Him, to let Him be our partner, to take the load from our shoulders. And whatever you're anxious about this morning, shalom. His purpose and His promise and His provision is to give you peace. Receive it in Jesus' name. Amen.